Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Bachelor Wrap-Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I've got my notebook out. I'm ready to read you some fanfic.
Ooh, great. Chris Harrison inspired?
Yeah, it's about me and Chris Harrison and Ooh. Our sordid love affair.
Yeah, for those who didn't watch, Chris Harrison writes erotica, and that was the theme of the group date that we saw in this episode. So buckle your seatbelts, everyone.
And your chastity belts.
Oh, yeah. And would you say that we've now entered into the Sarah show for this episode? I know Victoria said it wasn't the Sarah show, but I kind of feel like looking at my notes that it basically was the Sarah show.
The Sarah Chiller.
Yeah, Sarah Chiller.
So it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, so some interesting headlines from this episode. This episode really took me on some, like, an emotional roller coaster for me. I was like, I hate Sarah. Oh, I feel so bad for Sarah. Like, I hate her. Like, I thought she was, like, totally manipulating and going to find her way back on. But then she left. I don't know. There's a lot to break down. I would like to know if you went on that same journey with me or if you're on the team Sarah. So
I'm on team, like, no one acted well except Katie.
Yeah, that's basically it. I feel like there were people that were a few, maybe people that didn't get involved. They're probably innocent, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there any point to talking about anything else? Like, I don't really think so. The main thing on the episode tonight was, or yesterday, was Sarah. And
we started with her fainting.
It's hard because I don't think anyone acted correctly, like, genuinely. I mm-hmm. think Sarah was in the wrong. I think Victoria was in the wrong. I don't think Sarah deserved the treatment she got from the other women, especially since she tried to apologize. You can take that at face value or not, believe it or not, but I mean, it's not easy to sit in front of a crowd of women who have obviously just been talking about you and apologize. Mm-hmm. So I will give her that. But it made no sense for her to go take up time on the group date when she was going to be on a group date this week. I think I would understand it a little more if Chris Harrison was like, some of you, like, if, like, mm-hmm. hey, Sarah and Bree, you guys got one-on-ones last week, so you're not making a date this week. I would understand it, but, like, you're literally going to see him later in the week. I feel like this is the most extreme case of the first one-on-one date syndrome that we've ever seen.
Right, and she's technically the second one-on-one, so she's breaking new ground here. Early favorite-itis. We don't see Abigail. Like, she's first impression. She hasn't had a one-on-one. We didn't see mm-hmm. Abigail, like, spinning out like this. So basically what happens, we start out the episode where we're still kind of recovering from Sarah's fainting spell. And we hear some of the women saying, like, oh, this was for attention. And at that point, it didn't feel like that. So I'm wondering.
I agree. It didn't feel like that.
Was this, like, a post-production, like, another week down the road where they're recording, like, yeah, Sarah fainted and she got, you know, or did they feel like that in the moment? Was Sarah already causing this kind of, like, uneasiness with other women?
I would say, I don't know. I felt like they kind of believed her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like things didn't start to go downhill until Victoria, her enemy number one left. So then she turned to enemy number two.
I liked Kayla. She was like, was I annoyed that, you know, I was still waiting for my rose? And yeah. And does that make me feel bad? Yeah. Like, she wasn't like, didn't seem like she hated Sarah in that moment.
It was just
like,
she had a completely realistic reaction to it. And I appreciate that she was honest with us about it.
Mm-hmm. So we conclude the rose ceremony. It goes on as normal after probably a pretty significant delay. Kayla, Mari, MJ, Kylie, Anna, and then, of course, Victoria is last one chosen. So we do lose Marilyn. I've already forgotten about that storyline, but it seems very unfortunate for Marilyn, that first victim of Victoria.
I was more surprised than I feel like I should be, because I expected her to go home, but I was still pretty flabbergasted that Matt like gave her this gift and kind of gave her this false sense of security, right, and then listen to the most insane person in the house. Like, right, you can't tell me that he sits down and has conversations with Victoria and like buys her BS at all. And I'm not saying that there's a lot of things that people are saying Victoria's a production plant and, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, she's acting up for TV. Sure, she might be acting up for TV, but I genuinely believe this is who Victoria is.
Apparently she's a flight attendant in real life.
Are you, what?
Yeah. I saw a headline that's like, Victoria actually has a job title and it's flight attendant. So usually that is a job title that kind of makes the show, but yeah, she's a queen flight attendant. So
yike. I would not want her bringing me my pretzels. That's no, for sure.
We also lose Ileana, Kristen, Alana, and Sydney. I think those are all of them. Marilyn did at least give it to Victoria. She said she's a good actress. So Victoria, she might think Victoria is the plant as well.
And then, I just can't believe it.
Yeah. So group dates this week, Chris Harrison meets the women the following morning, says, you know, Matt agrees with me that the Bachelor, he needs to be pushed out of his comfort zone. So he doesn't know what we're doing this week. I'm taking the reins. And there's going to be two group dates and one really romantic one-on-one date. So I was thinking back to Tayshia's season where Chris was kind of helming some of these random dates and serving margaritas and things like that, but did not expect that the first group date would be... We have Ashley Ibach, so that wasn't so much of a surprise, but she's reading a love scene, a sex scene from Chris Harrison's novel that was in the background of all his, what were they call it, greatest seasons ever.
Yeah.
When he was filming it. So he's been promoting that, but not quite to this extent.
I knew the book existed. Mm-hmm. But now I'm mad that I know that there's a sex scene in it. At least one.
At first, I thought the date was going to be them reading all the sex scenes, because actually, I said there was a lot of sex in the book. And I'm a little disturbed that sounded like the protagonist's name was Jake. So is this Jake Pavelka inspired?
Yeah, we'll see if the guy's a pilot or not.
Right. What did you think of Ashley I's performance?
I mean, it's always nice to have her around. She's a professional. Mm-hmm. Of course they had her read the sex scene.
Yeah.
She's like, whatever. She's like, I don't care as long as I get a paycheck.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Jared, he didn't get a performance fee this time, an appearance fee. But he's probably just back at the resort. But they have to write their own. I think the date that it reminded me the most of was maybe, did they have to do something like that in, was it Nick's season when they had to go to that Broken Heart Museum? Or there was somewhere where they had to kind of write like a story about like something embarrassing or like their first time or something like that.
Yeah, this feels familiar, but I'm not sure why.
Or was that Peter's season?
I can't pinpoint it.
There was a date where Hannah B showed up and they had to do something as well. So maybe it's that one I'm thinking of, but not quite to this extent.
Oh, Peter's.
Yeah,
oh,
Peter's maybe. Season.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a good call.
But this one was not quite so. I thought they would find more ways to, like, get around it and just, like, write a little love story. But they all kind of went for it for the most part. Who stood out to you for their performance?
I blacked out the entire time. I was just, like, writhing in uncomfortness.
Cringe. Yeah. It was definitely uncomfortable because they had to make the story. It wasn't like, oh, just write a love scene. It was like, write a love scene, a sex scene, write erotica about you and Matt James.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and you're performing it to him.
Yeah. That's not like my thing, but power to these ladies because they did it.
And they all said they like for the most part, they all felt empowered about it. I did like the kind of the spirit that they all had about it. I wouldn't have been the same way. So, especially thinking about like, oh, this is going to air on TV and like everyone's going to see this. But I think the ones where they like kind of made a joke at the end, like Anna, who started out, were probably like that. I think that's probably the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not take it too seriously. But Matt didn't even know this date was happening, probably because he would have vetoed it if they had suggested this one. So, yeah, that's how Chris gets him out of his comfort zone. Any predictions of what the second group date will be, since we didn't see it on this episode? What is Chris Harrison going to do to make them uncomfortable next?
Oh, gosh. Like,
or what can he promote?
His rings. You're going to have to marry each other. Featuring Chris Harrison's man band wedding rings.
Yeah.
Do you like that he wears a man band but on not his wedding finger?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that product placement.
Wow. He also has like a drink, some kind of rosé with Seagram's Escapes, so there could be some kind of like mixed drinks, drinking games maybe.
Yeah. Get the ice cream back in. You guys have to ice cream paint with your bodies.
Ooh, yeah. So we have that. Then we have the second. Oh, and they said, and you'll be performing for a live audience. And like, I don't know why I was like fooled. I was like, oh, who are they bringing in? Yes, I was so annoyed. I know. It was just other women.
For last season, the live audience, it's like, yeah, of course, it's obviously going to be the other women.
Right. But yeah, it didn't occur to me that I thought like the way they phrased it, I was like, oh, they're actually like have, I was like thinking like, is it just like other Bachelor Nation people like Jared? I thought they maybe like put some kind of like thing out there. Maybe Matt's mom was still hanging out.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if Matt's mom had to watch this?
Yeah, I think this episode was probably really uncomfortable for her, considering that she had to watch this. And then on the one-on-one date, he was like, yeah, my mom's so old. She's all alone. I'm worried about her. She's like,
oh,
what? Like,
rough.
Looks great. I don't know how old she is, but yeah, she's definitely not. I think he called her like elderly. So,
He posted something on Twitter that was like a screenshot from the Life Alerts commercial.
Yeah.
Of like the lady lying on the floor, and he's just like, my mom right now.
Yep. I wasn't really expecting, like, he's kind of a contender for like funniest bachelor, like on Twitter. He's giving Sean Lowe a run for his money. Sean Lowe's been kind of holding steady with, you know, his little dad jokes, but.
Yeah, Matt, he was showing off his charcuterie board making skills, which was Teddy Grahams and Lunchables. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had been making fun of him for kissing with his eyes open. So he said literally any kiss POV, and it's just like him with his eyes open really close. That's pretty funny.
Did that creep you out before, like the eye open thing? I didn't really notice it till people pointed it out, and now it's all I can notice.
Listen, does it creep me out? Do I do it to Ethan to creep him out?
Yes. See, relate.
I think it's funny.
Yeah. I feel like it was something I read like as a teenager, like mix things up, open your eyes and take it all in. It was like ways to change up like kissing or something. Like, oh, they were hard up for headlines there.
I didn't need kissing tips in high school, that's for sure.
Hey, I was just reading. Just trying to learn.
I was preparing for my mid-20s.
Yeah. Got the archive. Got the library ready.
Ready to go.
Yeah. So then...
Do the thing where it's like shapes with your tongue. Is that kissing or is that something else? I can't remember.
I think that's more like a third base thing.
Oh, gosh. Jeez Louise.
So they have the second portion. Well, before we get to the second portion of the date, during the live audience, everyone seemed to be having fun except for Sarah. And I thought this was a really weird place to be getting like so jealous and so upset about his relationships with other women, because they were all like over the top, ridiculous sex scenes for the most part.
Yeah, just, like, they weren't like, touching. They weren't like making out with each other. Like, I feel like there's been worse ones where I don't know. I feel like there's been worse performances than this.
Yeah, I feel like the time to spin out about it is when he's on the one-on-one date with someone else and you're like, I don't know what they're doing, or, oh, I saw them leave on horseback. Like, that's so romantic compared to what I did. But this date, like, you were there, you got to see what it was, and it wasn't like there was anyone he was making out with or anything. So that sets the stage for later on that evening, the cocktail party. He has a change of clothes, and then Victoria says, I liked your day outfit. So that was a little bit of a dig, I felt like.
I did think, like, I mean, she wasn't wrong. I thought his day outfit was nicer.
Yeah. It was kind of the Canadian tuxedo vibe, right? Wasn't it like denim on denim?
No, it was like a cream colored turtleneck.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The later one was like a denim jacket, but not like a jean jacket. It was like just like a bomber jacket.
Okay, I might be combining the two. So people get their time, but not everyone. He's talking to Katie, and we see Sarah back at her room just thinking, okay, I have to go talk to him. I'm just so worried because our connection is deeper than everyone else, and it's so different. So I have to go, like, make sure that he still feels the same way. It's like, it's day three. What's going on here? So at this point, I was really like anti. I was like, wow, what a turn. I really liked her last week. She has this emotional story and she's like sacrificed for her family. And then this week, it's like she's just manipulative and trying to get time when she doesn't need to, when she will be getting time later on. And at this point, she didn't say anything about wanting to leave, just that it was like, it's difficult. I feel like I need to let him know. So
yeah, and I feel like she would have had the time, but I understand where she's coming from, where it's probably like nothing else she could think about, and she wants her answer sooner than rather than later, because she is probably considering leaving in her head. But I do, god, it's so like, I don't know, sometimes you just kind of have to play the game a bit, but I bet there's a producer in her ear being like, yeah, just go talk,
right? She had to find out where it was exactly. Yeah, I think if she had put it in more context, like, I really want to be back home with my family. So if I'm not like, if he's not really serious about me or doesn't see it going somewhere, I could see that. I would have been more on her side if she was explaining it that way. But to me, it felt like she came up with that as an excuse after it was received so poorly from the other women. Like, after she felt like in over her head and everyone being so mad at her and getting that reaction, I felt like it was sort of like, that's when she started using that as the reason. And I don't know if she thought about leaving before then, or it was really seriously. And then she did that line, like when she talked to Matt later, like, I was packing my bags this morning. And we've heard that so many times. Like, didn't Victoria F say that kind of thing to Peter last year? And like, yeah, I had my bags packed, as like kind of like a line, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of where I was viewing it at this first half of the episode. But yeah, so he's talking to Katie, and she's obviously shocked to see her show up. Usually, like, if someone shows up on a group date like this, it's maybe someone who's been eliminated or something. So she's like, oh, okay, why are you here? And she was kind of just stunned, so she let her have the time. And then she tells the other women on the date. Victoria, of course, everyone's really pissed, but Victoria's kind of leading the charge, like, go back. And what did you think of Katie's approach to, like, coming back?
I thought Katie was in the right to come back and be like, hey, like, this is my time. So if you could just finish up what you're doing and leave, that would be great. Because, like, this is, like, you have your time later. I think she handled it pretty well. I don't, like, she didn't get vicious. She didn't get rude. And I think it was fair for her to just stand off to the side when Sarah was like, please, just 2 more minutes. So she's like, OK, I'll just stand here ready for you.
Well, and Sarah was like,
I thought it was all fine.
Katie's like, OK, can you finish up in like 2 minutes? And Sarah's like, 5 minutes. I was like, hey, this is like borrowed time you have. Like, just do the 2 minutes and leave. I was so annoyed at that. And then when she just kind of hung out, and then it seemed like Sarah's waiting for Matt to tell Katie to leave, because she's like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to handle that. Like, she was annoyed at Katie. And again, yeah, she's the one interrupting her time, seeming like her time was more valuable and her connection was more valuable. She did verbalize that she thought that they were, they were farther along, but it doesn't mean that he shouldn't be, enjoying his time with the rest of them. So then when Katie doesn't leave, then and kind of comes back like, okay, can you go now? And then she even then is like, okay, but Matt, can you walk me out? So she still gets like to make out with him on the way out. Like it's just,
I mean, like, yeah, like a full tongue kiss.
Yeah. Like she still gets her alone time. So that's okay. She's already had her time with him from fainting. That was fine. I feel like that was legitimate. I don't think she faked fainting this time. Like very manipulative to get this extra time with him. Was not necessary. She could have, waited till her next group date. If she was thinking of leaving at that point and didn't want to wait out the few more days till she would get the group date, I can see it. But we didn't know that at that point, and she didn't really say that at any point that she was thinking of leaving. So I don't know if she just came to that a little bit later on. So then Matt comes back from his time with Katie, and it's like the date is done. So that didn't sit well because, like, I think Kayla didn't get time. A few of them didn't get time. Mm-hmm. And he gives the group date rose to Rachel. So they had time. What did you think of their conversation? I thought it was a little weird when he was like, yours didn't seem like a fantasy. It seemed like that could happen. Is that foreshadowing?
You kiss me gently on the mouth and then I starfish for the next 17 minutes. But that sounded so real. It could actually happen. I could just lay there.
Well, she did bring up her groin. Her groin fluttered. So
yeah, like
that combo of terms.
No. You have to say that to me.
Yeah, hers was very awkwardly worded, but Kit was also on the date, and Kit was really like pissed off too. And it seems like Kit and Victoria are like the princess and queen are friends. They were holding hands, like skipping along at the first part of the group date as they were greeting Matt. So
he's confused too, but
I need the backstory there.
But then, I think one of the things that bothers me about Victoria is that she approaches, she gets mad at everyone else being fake, and mm-hmm. she's so real. Right. But then when she approaches a conflicting conversation, she does it where you think she's trying to be nice to you at first, because like she came in and be like, oh, I hope you're feeling okay. But you're like a massive bitch, and like what you were doing wasn't okay, and like everyone hates you for it, and like you're the worst person. You should probably go die. Like right. She just says it in like this like cheery tone where you're like,
right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, because so she finds Victoria finds Sarah outside before as she's leaving, and it was just like, yeah. So what did you have to talk to Matt about? Because all of us, we were so worried about you. Like, she must be like seriously ill if this is happening. Like, just the ultimate passive aggressive. Like, and yeah, Sarah wouldn't really say what it was, just that she needed the time with him. Then Katie came up and talked to her as well and sort of said, listen, like, it's harder for us because you've already had the time. Like, you're sitting better than us. She even made some kind of quote that reminded me of Natalie on Survivor about like the Edge of Extinction when she was talking about the fire tokens. Cause she was like, Sarah is like a billionaire and we have a dollar, something like that. Mm-hmm. In terms of like the time that they have, because they really get no time. And we've heard that like the people who get eliminated, haven't spent any time with him even into the week two. So the group date time is really valuable until you get that one-on-one date. So she knows they're all upset with her but didn't really give them like an answer they needed. But the next morning comes or when they're waiting for the date card and Sarah isn't around, or they're waiting for the one-on-one date card. So they're all talking about her, and she basically just has just like holed up in her room, doesn't want to come down. So it just gives the women more time to bash her and not really talk about what happened, because the ones who weren't there didn't realize that that's what had gone on. So I think Serena P gets the next date card, but Sarah wasn't around at all for that. And then we kind of see that kind of continue, that she's not hanging out with the women. And then she doesn't come down until, like, she kind of waltzes in right when they're about to get that second group date card.
I don't completely blame her. I feel like she's probably, like, embarrassed and upset, mm-hmm. and doesn't want to be around them because she doesn't really get along with them that well.
Right. And it could be another thing too, where the producers are like, yeah, if you don't want to come down, like, it's just the one-on-one date card now. So, you know, you're probably not going to get it since you had it last time, or something, you know, if they're giving her permission, because I'm sure they make them all, like, have a call time to be down in the lobby and wait for the date card. They have all these cues that they have to follow. So what did you think of Serena P getting this, the one-on-one for this week?
I was interested to get to know her more, mm-hmm. and I really liked her on this date. I thought she was fun, but I think, like, and she kind of gave him shit when he needed to have shit.
Like having a pet turtle?
Yeah. But then, you know, but was, I don't know. I just liked her. I liked her a lot.
Playful. I wasn't expecting her to get the one-on-one here. So it was nice to, like, have somebody that I wasn't, like, we weren't seeing a lot of her before this. So it was the horseback ride. Then they're having their little picnic. They're making out, and there's suddenly, like, a ton of donkeys around them. And they have, she teaches them how to make charcuterie boards. So did you like her, her tips?
Yeah, I did. As a charcuterie board lover myself, I liked her making fun of him. Yeah. Being like, what do you mean you want a charcuterie?
Right. Take notes. Get your notebook. And then they had dinner. I thought she looked really pretty. They were kind of talking about, like, have you been in love before, kind of a thing, the past relationships. She had been, and that's when he talked about how he thought he had, but wasn't really. It was, like, kind of when he was younger. She says she's falling in like. He found that hilarious, so he doesn't know that that's a, you know, again, it's refreshing. He hasn't heard all these bachelor terms that have been around. But he kind of says that he's, like, feels the same way about her, and that, like, she's someone that he could potentially see marrying. So he's moving, you know, at full speed here. And then
he's all in on it.
Yeah, I thought they looked really cute together. Then they went in the hot tub, and she gave him shit for having turtles on his swim trunks.
I love that she, like, noticed that and called him out. And yeah. Whoa, I told you I love turtles. Like, they have, I really believe their chemistry more than I think I got from Brie and Matt and Sarah and Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have more of, like, the playful banter and that level of comfort with each other. So I like
and
that.
And she seems older than 22.
She's 22. Oh, she totally seems older. Yeah. Is that the Canadian?
I don't know. I have a lot being Canadian. People tell me they don't realize I'm 29, they think I'm younger.
Yeah, so
not because of
the opposite, I guess.
My routine. I think it's just my aloof personality.
We didn't see, like, a lot. Like, so I think it was just like, I think she's a contender for sure. We didn't see anyone, like, talking bad about her. No one was jealous. It was all about Sarah this episode. So then we go back to the Sarah drama. She finally shows up. Kind of, again, I'm still, like, hating her at this point, because I'm like, oh, of course, she just waltzes in right when they're going to call her name for the date card, because, you know, she wants to make sure she's on that date. And she sits down, and everything kind of stops. And at this point, everyone has been, like, seething about her. You know, it's been, and she does apologize. I think someone maybe turns to her and is like, oh, look who decided to show up, kind of thing. And she does apologize, and I feel like
I think she very well could have been like, I have nothing to apologize for. Yeah. Like, this experience for me is about me, and, like, I'm sorry that I upset people to get what I needed, but, like, I didn't come here to make friends. She could have easily said that.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like she wants to be the villain.
Yeah, and maybe I'm a sucker, but I believe her apology.
Oh, and then another thing we should point out is that when Matt came to pick up Serena for her date, Sarah wasn't there, and he was going to say something about, like, that situation. Like, I think he was going to maybe apologize or say something about the group date time, but then he saw she wasn't there, and he's like, hang on a sec, He went to her room. He said he'd be gone for 5 minutes. They made out on the bed and he spent time comforting her. It was a lot longer than 5 minutes. So this is another point as to why they're mad.
And that's not chill on Matt's part. I'm not going to blame Sarah for that. Cause like, for all she knows, there's not a one-on-one date happening right at this moment. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know that. She hasn't been really involved in things for a day. That's on Matt. That's not on Sarah.
I mean, what was the objective? He could have just said, okay, you want to come down and we'll apologize or something. He basically said, like, if you need me to come here every day and tell you we're good, I will. That was pretty extreme. I thought, is this a Dale Clair situation?
Although that might not work out.
Yeah. The breaking news is that they're taking time apart.
We'll get to that one.
Yeah. So I thought that was odd because I'm even thinking back to last week. I didn't think like their chemistry was like so amazing from last week that I was like, oh, she is number one.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah. So, but I guess she thinks so. And it kind of shows too that Matt doesn't really know how you're supposed to act in this environment. Like that's probably not something you should promise to somebody because she'll hold you to that, and then that will not sit well with other women if you're checking on her every day and reassuring her. But so then he comes back and they're like, he says that was a long five minutes, and I really like that Serena just handled it really well and it's like, I get the rest of the day with him, so it's fine.
Yeah, Serena really was very classy about the whole situation. I don't know if I would have been there. Right. Like, you ready for me now or what?
Yeah, because you kind of want that. You want that arrival. He shows up and
he's you want him to be so date. Excited to see you that he can't even think about any of the other girls.
Right.
Never mind. Go like talk to one and make out.
Yeah. Right before. So then the second part when they're waiting for the group date and yeah, Sarah seemed to have a fairly genuine apology. She seemed to take the time that said she kind of understands where they're coming from, didn't mean to take away from their time, had something that she was working through. And, she never said, I have a family situation or something. I don't know if she said at this point that she was considering leaving or not. But I know at one point when she says that, they're like, well, just go. Or she's had people say, well, you better really, feel strongly about him because, it's going to be really hard for you from now on, kind of a thing. I think Kit said that. So there's kind of some harsh things thrown at her.
And that sounds threatening.
Yeah. It really was to the level of bullying. MJ, it seemed like she wanted to pull someone aside to talk to them. Maybe MJ was somebody that she had got along with before. And MJ was like, no, I'm too heated right now. And so she didn't really have anyone, it seemed like, that was willing to talk to her. And then we see Katie is the one person who will go and talk to her and pulled her aside.
Yeah. And I think Katie needed her chill time. Mm-hmm. And I think Katie was a good person to go talk to her. Mm-hmm. It seems like she likes Katie. It seems like Katie can keep a cool head. And it was all of this went down because she interrupted Katie. So I think that's a good person to go talk to her. Mm hmm. And do you wish Katie stuck up for her more in the moment, with everyone? Do you wish anybody stuck up for her? It did feel pretty one-sided.
Yeah, I think it's hard because it was I could see them being very upset that she wasn't participating in anything. And then seeing how she took additional time from them or from Serena. So it wasn't it happened to these specific people, but they are all lashing out. But I think maybe people are just kind of caught off guard or just letting people be characters be characters. Because Victoria is going to Victoria. And, so in the moment, I didn't think it was to the extent that someone needed to step in, but I did feel bad when she was totally isolated, and I can understand someone not knowing what to say in that moment. But I think maybe it should have been more than just Katie coming to talk to her. And I really like how Katie was able to get her to open up. She had no idea that nobody knows what it's kind of that quote. It's like, you don't know anyone's story. It's like, be kind, because you don't know what like anyone else is dealing with, like behind the scenes. So, and so at this point I was like feeling bad for hating on Sarah the whole episode, because she opened up to Katie about like her dad, and that he doesn't, you know, have much longer. She said it's not really a matter of like years or months. It's like could be weeks. And then we learned that Katie's dad passed away in 2012. And she said like, okay, now that I know that, like, you should go home. Like, I wish I had that time back. Because at first, Katie was encouraging her. She wasn't telling her to leave at all. She was saying, you know, I'd rather you have, like, follow through on your connection. Because if I'm supposed to be with Matt, I want him to, like, not have any doubts. So he should,
yeah, like, and I thought that was an excellent point from her.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm thinking, like, okay, she is going to go. And she, you know, I didn't realize it was to that extent either, that she, like, where her father's disease had progressed to that point. So I could totally understand like being so anxious and wondering if it's even worth like staying there. So, and then I like how Katie came back to the group and explained like, you know, she is going through something. So like try to stay classy and just, you know, really taking that time to step back. And I think people kind of picked up on that. Maybe not everybody, but then we see her go to Matt's residence. We see Sarah go to Matt's residence. She is packed up. And then at this point, I start thinking that it's like a manipulation tactic again, because what she told Katie was just like, I can't stay here because I want to be back with my family. But the first thing she says to Matt is, I'm being bullied. The other women are doing this. It's like so hard for me to be here. And it just seemed like she was using that phrasing to get him to say like, no, I want you to stay, like, who's doing this kind of a thing. Cause it didn't seem like she was talking to Katie about like, oh, everyone's so mean. I don't know. I was really like torn again. Like, wait, well, where is this going? I thought for sure she was going to go back in the house, and it was like Matt going to take her back and say like, this isn't cool. And it would be like a whole nother situation.
Mm-hmm. Ethan was convinced she was going to end up back in the house by the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. I was not as much. Okay. Because I think Sarah is smart enough to know that if she went back after saying, like, I'm done, I'm out, like, it's not going to go well for her. And and again, it's like, why, if you're already, like, not doing too hot, like, why would you put yourself through this?
For love.
Great. But you know my theory on soulmates is, like, you could have you could have 55 soulmates. Like, you could marry, like 100,000 people and like have a great life.
Was that in your wedding vows?
Yeah, it was. They were like, thanks for picking me. It could have been anyone else. Still could be anyone else.
Let's one in 100,000.
Marriage of convenience. I'm just kidding. I needed those dental benefits. What can I say? But yeah, marry somebody for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And dental benefits.
Definitely. I think, yeah, I just was convinced that because the way that she phrased it with him took a totally different tone. But then she said, you know, I've prayed on it and I feel like I'm supposed to be back with my family. And he's like, I totally understand. Like, you're going to make someone really happy someday. I'm sad it's not me. Really sweet. Like, I'll be thinking of you, praying for your dad. So she heads out. She's crying. And that's kind of, that was the cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. I really feel for Sarah, and I hope she's in a better place now. I can't imagine it being a healthy situation for her to stay in what she was going through. So I think she absolutely made the right choice to just head on out. Yeah. Matt seems nice, but is he worth that? Does that mean?
Well, it's just, it's not, she's not at final four right now, you know, and deciding to like peace out when like she could be the final one. Like, she doesn't, it's still, the odds are not in her favor of being the final one, right? So, yeah, but I've seen a lot of talk of like, will she come back? Because she got so much time before. And I know she showed up in the previews quite a bit, but I'm thinking, like, did we just see her on the plane and we saw, like, her date that she already had?
Yeah, or, like, I don't remember seeing anything. Like, I don't remember anything from the preview that we haven't seen.
Right. And I think the only way she could come back is if she doesn't leave. Like, if she decides, if she does, like, the Bennett or the Ben and is like, okay, well, I'm still, like, here at the resort until my flight out. So, yeah, I kind of regret it now. Can I just come back? But I wouldn't want to face Kit and Victoria again.
Yeah, again, I just feel like she's too smart for that. Mm-hmm.
But it's strange, like, such a, like, we're thinking, was it Ethan that thought she was for sure Bachelorette? And I was kind of bought into that.
He called her second place Sarah.
Yeah. So, no. But second date Sarah, that spins out. So we have, that's where we end. We don't get the second group date yet. We don't have another rose ceremony, but we do have draft results. Mari is like double our point.
It's like the Mike Bloom situation all over again. It
totally is.
You remember that where he's like, I haven't watched the show in 5 years, and then like murdered us.
Was that JoJo's season? I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, something like that.
He just had everybody. So she had Sarah, and even though Sarah leaves, you know, she gets the emotional story. She gets all these kiss points. So Mari tweeted, like, Sarah racking up all these points for me right before on her way out the door. So, yes. Let's see. So where we're at is at Mari talks too much. She's building up her lead this week up to 78 points with 7 of her picks left. We are in a tight race for second and third place. 38 points to 37. And we both have 6 people left. Let me just make sure that I didn't miss anybody else that left this week. I don't think so. So I lost Kristen this week. You lost Ileana. And Mari lost Mary Lynn. And who else left? Oh, Sydney from the listeners team. So the listeners have nobody right now, but next week we have 5 more women coming. So that should be fun. And we're going to have Asia join us to talk about it. So that will be fun as well.
Can't wait.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's talk about the Bachelor Nation news we alluded to before.
Oh, I'm sad, guys. I'm thankful that it came out right before we're going to record the podcast and not like 25 minutes after, or else we would have had to record a special episode, I think. But
Love is dead again.
Claire and Dale are done.
They're taking space, Haley.
They're taking space, which means
in Bachelor terms, it's just like, okay,
not
well,
great, folks.
I mean, they lasted till the new year.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me go back on the social media. It said like fans were picking up on something on social media.
Yeah, like she had unfollowed his cousin and he also really? Unfollowed this cousin and what? They just hadn't really been mentioning each other in posts lately.
Because I mean,
this wasn't looking great.
Yeah. I wanted to share with you all that. Oh, this is more than a break. Claire and I have decided to go our separate ways. This is Dale's post. We appreciate the love and support we've received from so many people, but this is the healthiest decision for both of us at this time. We strongly believe in leading with love and always remaining true to oneself, something our families have taught and instilled in us throughout our lives. We only hope the best things for one another. Which engagement was longer, Benoit or Dale?
I'm not sure because I don't know how long the Benoit one was. This one was at least 6 months, right? Because they were filming in July.
Yeah. And this is strange that he put out a statement. She did not. So I don't know how mutual this was. This doesn't seem... Her second post was with him, Let's Never Leave, but that was January 9th. Then there's a post with her mom. It's disappointing because this was supposed to like have us believing in love that they had to end the season. And I know like on when Tayshia had her proposal, like they both posted something like, this is what the journey is all about. Congrats to you. And that was just like right before Christmas. So the article said they've been fighting a lot, fighting about like their different lifestyles. She wants to stay in Sacramento. He wants to live in a big city. I thought love could overcome that kind of thing. But.
I know. And I feel bad because like she wants to stay in Sacramento for what I believe to be a very good reason, mm-hmm. which is that her mother is extremely ill and she's living in a home there. And she can't just like be like, okay, mom, love ya, heading to NYC with my boyfriend. Like, no, like that's obviously not going to happen.
Right. And her mom has dementia, so she's not going to understand like what's going on.
Yeah. I feel like Dale should have. I mean, this is me, you know, not knowing every facet of the relationship, but I do feel like Dale should have been like, yeah, we'll be in Sacramento for as long as you need to be in Sacramento. Right. It's not that far and from
I can travel
San Francisco, right?
Right.
Like, I can it's not that long work. Of a flight from LA.
And so much that's going on right now is virtual stuff. Like if you want to host something or whatever, you can do it from your own setup. Like there's all these new situations coming up or... So, yeah, that's a bummer. And then the fact that she, you know, the season was cut short. And so it's going to be like, okay, should that have been cut short? Because, yeah, she had tunnel vision. She wasn't going to, like, explore anything else for that season. But it kind of shows, like, maybe the person that you land on 5 days in or pre-season is not, you know, necessarily, like, the long-term choice. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just that this process doesn't always work. You know, there's only, you know, it's not the 100,000 people that you could be with. It's only 30 people there. So, yeah, I was caught off guard. I didn't think it would be this soon. I think we, you know, didn't give them like, think they'd be together forever, but we thought maybe a year, right?
Okay. I just so badly wanted Claire to prove them all wrong. Like, yeah. There's so many doubters coming out of this season being like, well, they're not going to last. And like, I'm mad they're right.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. So, and it always like the fact that she isn't coming out with a statement, like I'm just kind of worried about her that like she wasn't expecting it or something. Like, cause usually mm-hmm. it's like, they both like have the same exact copy paste text, you know, on these bachelor breakups.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I just hope she finds peace.
Right. And then I think I'd seen something, this is more like last week, but where Carly had done like a YouTube video and she was talking about her breakup and that it seemed like it was really Evan driving that divorce, that she had said like, okay, if you want a divorce, like it has to be your decision. Cause like she just said that she was never gonna make that choice. So but that she's kind of, she was like saging the room where she was in, because that's where like he told her that he wanted a divorce. It was just kind of sad.
But do you believe her?
I don't know. I think, did you say there were rumors that like they were living apart before?
Yeah.
So I wonder if that was something people were picking up on as well. But their kids are so little. I just feel really
it makes me really sad. I was hoping for them to work out too. I just want everyone to work out. Like I just want everyone to be happy and feel peace and joy, and that's it.
Yeah. I had this thought that Bachelor in Paradise should have like the new twist. Listen up, producers. They should have like a Legends quarter. Like a little like other mansion, and you put in like Hannah B, Becca Kufrin, get Carly if she's ready, you know, get some of these like people that were like kind of like bachelor royalty and bring them in for the season. So as like the late arrivals or something, or like a late reveal that like, oh, it's not just like the first night boots that are here. We've got like former bachelors and bachelorettes here. Give us a Peter for some mess, even though I don't want to see him, but you know, get Blake back and have like some of the people that you think aren't coming back. Probably too soon for Claire. Claire's not going to leave anywhere else, but
I hope that this is still the end of Claire's journey with the Bachelor. I think it's time for her to just find love in a more conventional method.
I just want her to Tinder. Find somebody. Yeah. Just go to the basics. Find someone that wants to stay in Sacramento that's already there.
You know what? Go to the Trader Joe's. Pick out a hottie. I'm sure that'll work out.
I've had so many crushes on Trader Joe's employees. I miss going there and seeing them.
I miss Trader Joe's. You would often send me treats from Trader Joe's. It was wonderful. So good. So the closest one is only like 40 minutes from me.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But it's across an international border that I have not been able to cross since March and will not be able to cross for, probably a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I've only gotten Trader Joe's snacks like once or twice in this pandemic because I haven't stepped foot in there either. So I've sent people out to get them for me. I don't really, yeah. They don't have like curbside pickup there or anything, so it's a little tricky. I'm trying to stick to that. It's difficult. We all have our situations. All right, listener questions.
We had a lot of questions, a lot of good questions. Right. Yeah. Lots of emails too. If you want to send us an email, bachelorwrapup@gmail.com. Also, while you're at your browser, why not head on over to Rob has a website.com/batchcast and leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, or please, if you 5 stars from your app, you can probably do it too, right?
Yeah, you can absolutely do it on your app. Again, if it's anything under 4 stars, just like keep it to yourself. Why are you rooting? Like, I'm already gonna have depression. Like, you really want to make me feel worse?
Think La Quinta in Palm Springs, not La Quinta on the side of the road, you know, on the interstate. 4 stars and above.
Just like, again, like if you don't like us, A, you're not listening. And if you are hate listening to us, like, what are you doing? First of all, second of all, just don't leave us a review if you hate us.
Fall asleep or, you know, just to get through the day.
If you just need background noise, if you just want us to go zzz into a microphone for an hour for some white noise or like ocean sounds. Is that a good ocean sound?
I don't know. Can you do a seagull?
Is that a seagull?
So I used to use this like noise machine alarm clock. And so I would wake up to like peaceful, like it was kind of like rainforest sounds. And it was working for me so well. And then one time I went to like an Aveda spa place, like for a Groupon or like a massage or something. And then that was like the sound that they used. And I could not relax at all because it was like, it reminded me of like waking up when I didn't want to wake up. And it was just like this repetitive sound that was the exact same sound. And I should have been like, hey, can you change the sound? But I'm just like too like people pleasing to just.
Yeah,
like,
no, in anything. A massage, you could be like breaking my bones and I'll be like, yeah, this is great. Although I love a hard pressure massage.
Exactly. Oh, that was like, it was a good massage other than that, but I just could not like zone out at all.
My entire life I've had to watch TV to fall asleep. My parents put a TV in my room at 3 years old, so I'd leave them the F alone. So then when Ethan and I moved in together, like I would have stuff on the TV. Mm-hmm. And my choice of TV shows to fall asleep to are mainly ones that I've seen before. Right. It doesn't matter like what they are usually. So I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race before bed every night. Okay. And he had to be like, Haley, you need to watch this with your headphones in. Because every night I'm almost asleep and then they start screaming and then the loud music. I can't do it anymore.
Like, I thought you were going to say that he got like so invested in the shows that he would stay
He would just be like so like about to sleep and then, you know, they'd announce a prize and everyone would scream.
That's happened to me on podcasts because I fall asleep with podcasts and so I'll just set like the sleep timer. But then, like, depending on if there's, like, someone, like, suddenly laughs or something, then I'll wake up and be like, what's happening?
Yeah, I was doing podcasts for a while, but Then I started having weird dreams about the people who were in the really? Podcast.
Yeah, I could see that too. Let us know if you had weird dreams that we were in.
Yeah, not like sexy ones though, please. I don't want to hear about sexy sure dreams. If you have a secret crush on me, I would like to know that though. I'm not going to do anything about it, but you know.
Yeah.
It's always nice to know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so listener question. Sorry, listener derailed questions. This like 5 minutes ago.
No worries. So this is an email, so you can email us at bachelorrehapup@gmail.com. This is from Jackie. She says, hi, so happy to have back-to-back seasons with you during this pandemic. So are we. Two questions. I found this website after I wanted Sarah's final outfit, the sweater. It's bigblondhair.com. And it looks like Kit is only wearing Cynthia Rowley, which makes sense, but seems unfair that she has a whole wardrobe provided to her. Thoughts? Also, that website is awesome. Big blonde hair. Haley, we should relate to this.
yes. Okay. Oof, so, did I ever tell you that one time?
Pants.
This was before our podcast. It wasn't this specific website, but okay. Possessionista used to go through the episodes and, you know, show clothes. Mm-hmm. I bought a shirt. Ooh,
what one?
That Nikki from Juan Pablo season was wearing because I liked it so much.
Oh wait, yeah, you told me because it was like the lace, like the
yeah,
that was so cute.
And I have never once worn it, but I still love it. I need like a nude colored tank top to put underneath it. But that's my cross to bear. Anyway, I love websites. Yeah,
I remember
like this.
I used to always look to. It's like pre Instagram, and so it'd be just like websites, and you're like
pre like it to know it.
The one that I wanted, and like I probably wouldn't even be into this now, or I would. Well, now it's like you wouldn't wear a dress anywhere, but it was Tenley had this like emerald green dress on Jake's season. And I really liked it at the time. But yeah, it was like, I can't afford this or whatever. I don't need this. But
no, but I do want Ashley Ice pants.
Yeah, we got another tweet from MJCSZN. Please talk about how cute Ashley Ayako's pants were during the group date. Plus they matched her earrings. I didn't notice the earrings though, but they were like... turquoise high waist pants, super cute.
Very, very cute. Ashley's a good dresser though.
Yeah.
Is it fair that I don't know? Like, it's her mom. Like, you know, whatever. It's probably good for both of them. She gets free clothes. Her mom gets good brand.
Yeah. Ooh, Serena P's dress, very pretty. But it's all they're sold out. It was only $27.99. Oh no, that's the Style Stealers. Oh, this is smart because they're giving you like something that looks like it as an option. Really like a lot of these sweaters. I'm trying to find the one that was Sarah's sweater. Her final.
Close to the bottom, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
And it's not that expensive either.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So
that's a great website. Thank you. Thank you very much for this.
Exactly. Good resource. So, I mean, it's her mom. So I think... it's not fair, really, but that's kind of like who she is. So
that's the joy of nepotism, my friend.
Yeah. Was her appearance just a whole like brand, you know, like guerrilla marketing kind of thing? Like, we're just going to like put you in there.
Yes.
Like, we need to get Cynthia Rowley in with like the younger crowd.
I can't wait for like the PR person from Revolve to come on this show.
Yeah. I'm not setting foot in those clothes. That's what we should have. Like where she give Kit. Oh my gosh. Kit's one-on-one will be like one of those like fashion designer dates and all the women will be so pissed. Cause like she already has all this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love that idea.
Like Corinne got, you know, did like the clothes. Although that was Corinne's hometown. She just kind of used her own money for that. And then number two, I'm sure you'll talk about this at length, but I was really surprised that no one was standing up for Sarah in the final conversation with the girls. I understand that Katie felt bad after, but I felt like it reflected the character of a lot of the women to just be quiet while Sarah was yelled at. Even Brie, who looked awkward, didn't say anything. I'm wondering if they didn't want to incur Victoria's wrath, since at this point it looks like she got two people to leave the show, Marilyn and Sarah, but I feel like the quiet people are just as bad as Victoria and can't remember her name with long black hair. Thoughts about that? Feel free to paraphrase the question.
No, I totally know what you mean and I get where you're coming from. I think in that situation, it is tough to stand up and be like, Victoria, you're being rude, especially when you kind of do believe that Sarah was in the wrong. Mm-hmm. and you may not know what to say in the instance, and then, you know, reflect on it and be like, hey, I didn't love how I handled that situation, which I feel like Katie might have kind of done.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I
definitely. Or, and like, a lot of these women might have been like, this isn't my battle to fight. Like, is, I don't know. Like, they very much are like, I'm not getting involved in this drama because it doesn't involve me.
Right. Like, I think it would have been nice if somebody was just like, you guys, let's focus on like
moving forward. Let's cool out, like, everyone. Like, let's talk about this tomorrow.
Let's get this group date. Like, let's hear like who's on the list. And yeah. And I think it's so different. Like the fact that they don't all stay in a house together, that I think they can really like kind of
isolate
and then sort of with their roommate or whoever, like, band together against somebody. And so it's, yeah, I was thinking it would be like maybe more like less of this kind of drama because they're not all in the same place at, you know, in each other's space the whole time. But it seems like it's created this sort of like me versus you, us versus them kind of a thing. You know, you even have like Victoria making these quips, like when Serena got her date card, like, can you tell Matt that Sarah sucks? Like, and they were all laughing. And it's like, I was laughing because I was just like, okay, at this point, it's just like, it's just Victoria. But yeah, looking at like, they basically push her off the show. It's, yeah, it's tricky. Number three, she says, I'm sure you'll talk about this too, but this felt like a lot of airtime for Sarah. I'm thinking this is a bachelorette level of airtime. Have they ever spent this much time on a single person leaving? Even Brendan as final four last season was like 15 minutes. Was this odd for production to spend so much time on this?
Yeah, but it almost felt like, A, maybe they have a lot more episodes to fill, and B, that was a significant part of the story in this section, and maybe it has an impact later down the line where Matt can't stop thinking about Sarah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was what people are pointing to, is that why they thought she would come back is because of that time. There's another account that, have you seen the account Bachelor Data on Instagram? And it kind of breaks down the time devoted to each like segment.
No, I haven't.
So episode three, the featured screen time, Sarah got 24.6% of the screen time. Matt got 13% of the screen time. So, yeah. They even break it down to like Chris Harrison's screen time, Ashley I's screen time. Like, this person is like George CTV levels of like analyzing everything in the episode. So that's a cool account to check out as well. And it seems like spoiler free, unless like you're the type that where you're like, oh, if I see this data of who's like followers have increased or something, that might make you like interpret it as spoiler somehow. But if she shows on this like how many like people's Instagram followings went up based on an episode, like Marilyn's went up quite a bit compared to some of the other like early boots, so shows that she kind of had a favorable impression. So interesting one there. I think I wouldn't totally rule it out that she could come back, but I just feel like the logistically would be strange, would be hard to do. Next email is from Beth. Hi, Amy and Haley. Where do we start with dissecting this episode? The group date made me so uncomfortable. I'm like Haley about certain words. They just make me uncomfortable and I'm okay with it. Apparently the girls on the date found the whole thing amusing, but I just covered my ears a lot. I can't even. Yeah, that's true. It's like, luckily a lot of them are bleeped out. has this kind of date been done before? If so, I must have blocked it from my memory. I am not 100% sure I'm a fan of Sarah, but I had flashbacks to high school and Mean Girls. Never personally experienced it, thankfully. I felt really awful for her. There's a huge maturity difference between the older pool of contestants we saw in The Bachelorette and this season's contestants. I wasn't surprised by her decision to leave early, and I really can't blame her. Katie at least showed her some kindness and empathy as she was leaving. My mother-in-law summed it up nicely by saying, "These girls are a mess." Finally, is anyone surprised by the news that Claire and Dale split? I have to wonder if she has any regrets, but I'm definitely not surprised. You ladies are the best, my favorite podcasters, and I look forward to listening to anything you talk about. Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, thanks. Claire doesn't seem like the regrets kind of gal to me, or at least she won't admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Yeah, I really did feel bad for Sarah. It's just an uncomfortable situation. She's so anxious about what's going on at home. She probably doesn't get regular contact. And so she's just in a spiral and she can't stop spiraling.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about, too, if she talked about with Matt that she like doesn't even really reveal what she's dealing with at home to anyone. So that I think that was a really big deal for her to even bring it up. And it's definitely like her prerogative to keep that more private.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see that it could be really challenging to try to like sort of explain or justify your actions about, you know, why you need to talk to him without saying that. So to like, she probably came across as like really wishy-washy and like, oh, she was just taking time to take time, and couldn't really defend herself the same way. But yeah, I do miss like the maturity level. Aside from certain contestants like Yosef, but the maturity level of most of the group that we had last season.
Yeah, this, you know, we had talked about coming into the season that it was going to feel more like, even from the preview, it was going to feel more like drama than the season we had just watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of disappointed that turned out to be the case. We'll see if that changes farther in, but I don't know.
Doesn't look like it next week, right?
No, it doesn't.
These new women will not have an easy time. Laura Cherry, how much money would it take to get you and Amy to read aloud from Chris Harrison's book on the podcast? Laughing emoji. I've never cringed for so long at one thing. Did anyone actually watch the whole date without skipping or fast-forwarding anything?
I will not purchase the book.
Yeah.
If you are willing to send me the book
or the Kindle, right?
Yeah, even the ebook.
The ebook.
Hey, even just a PDF you found online. Don't care. As long as I'm not personally paying for it. I don't know. Would we do a special Patreon episode that you'd have to sign up to Rob? Rob has a podcast Patreon.
We could do that. We could do some segments.
We did have somebody in the comments say, like, I will make a donation to a charity of your choice if you do this.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good.
So, something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Some off-season content. Justin Feinberg, is Ashley I's journey from discussing her virginity on Chris Soul's season to being a married person who shows up to read aloud a steamy romance novel sex scene penned by Chris Harrison the greatest long-term story arc in Bachelor franchise history? Ooh.
Ashley is a smart business lady. That's what I can say.
She's like the Kim Kardashian of the
Bachelor franchise.
And she was kind of like compared to Kim like in her first season. Like she just kind of like was her idol, right? So, Allison Dobbertine, do you think we'll see Sarah back in Bachelor Nation in one way or another? With so much time devoted to her story, I have to think yes.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. I could see her coming back for like a redemption arc, or I didn't get my time the way I wanted, or my family wants me, you know, to go back. And so... Justin Feinberg, on a scale of 1 to Chernobyl, how toxic to the house is Victoria? Is she a bigger ass than the donkeys who interrupted Matt and Serena P's makeout session?
She seems like a genuinely terrible person. Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel pretend to me. And again, maybe I am a sucker.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like, it doesn't seem like the other girls in the house dislike her that much.
No, it seems like she's fun to be around for them. But maybe she's like saying what they, you know, don't want to say, like, so they can kind of hide behind her. So if they're all pissed at Sarah, but Victoria will actually say something. Yeah, I guess they're not much better then. Will Harrington, if I had told you right after Katie walked in with the vibrator that she turned out to be the most mature woman on the season, would you believe it?
You know what? I don't think I would.
Mm-hmm.
What a thrill for us. What a multidimensional woman she is. I appreciate it. I like Katie.
Yeah, she was like cheering all the women on. Like, we kind of own our sexuality and talk about it and communicate with our partners. And yeah.
It's great. It's great messaging. What a thrill Katie is.
Yeah. Ava Pickett, just checking in on Haley after that erotic group date. How does it stack up against the other dates you would hate to be on? Skydiving, ATVing, anything where they make them dress in coordinating bikinis, etc.
Yeah, I was upset. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely believe that women should talk about their sexuality if that's what they want to do. I'm more than happy. This whole thing next week with like, which one's an escort? Like, mm-hmm. No, if that is how you want to get your money and you're comfortable with that and it's safe and consensual and you're happy, then please be my guest. That sounds wonderful. I'm not here to slut shame or sex shame. Yeah, I am.
It seems
just
like there's going to be a new target of bullying next week.
Yeah, like I'm not about that. I think that women should have as much intercourse as they would like with whomsoever they would like in a consensual manner.
Yeah, I think if I had to be on this date, I would have probably done the kit approach where she was like, the Pennsylvania breeze, you know, and then she was like, his long legs, you know, like she was just kind of like innuendo and like made a turn. Yeah. Like, and that's kind of what Matt did on his too, right?
So. I think I would have done like it all sounds sexual, but then it just like ends up that you're just having a snack or something, like a legitimate snack.
Right. Like a juicy tomato or something.
It was so juicy, he couldn't keep his hands off.
Yeah. That would have been so good. Yeah. Just approach it like a creative challenge, like a creative writing challenge, like, and see if you can, like, yeah, I think that would have been fun. It's all about like, finding a way out of it.
Would I rather do this date than ATVing? Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably. I think maybe I would just because I could manipulate it to be like funny rather than like serious intercoursey.
Yeah, and I think with the live audience, it wasn't like a legitimate live audience either. I think it would have been like a lot worse if it was like, and this is like in front of like, you know, a huge stadium of people or something, like in the way they would have done it before, or professional comedians or, you know, something like
that. Yeah, sure.
Ava Pickett. Okay, this one might be a stretch, but do you think production had Sarah interrupt Katie specifically because they knew about the story with her dad and that Katie lost her dad years ago? It still caused a lot of drama, but it came full circle when the two of them talked one-on-one. Did production plan this out, or did they just get very lucky?
I felt like when I was watching the episode that they sent Katie in specifically. They probably had a conversation with her and she was like, I don't really love how that went down. And they were probably like, hey, like, why don't you go talk to her? Like, I think they knew that Katie had lost her dad and that this was like a dad situation. And so I do think that maybe she was pushed to go talk to her. Mm-hmm. It does feel like a little bit of a stretch to be like, hey, Sarah, go interrupt the one who like has lost her dad. Like, I don't know if it's that convoluted, but
I think they would have her interrupt maybe Victoria or Kit or someone like that. Right.
Yeah.
If they were trying to like cause the most drama,
someone a little more fiery.
Mm-hmm. Will Harrington also was last night proof that the show needs to go back to casting older leads and contestants. Part of the reason why Claire and Tayshia's season was so great was because the guys were so mature. But then look at Peter's contestants and Matt's contestants and the level of toxicity is high.
Yeah, I think that we should skew older for a while. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like this is like what The Bachelor ultimately likes.
I know.
I feel like they're bored with like, Tayshia and Zach's happy love story and Claire and Dale, like what seemed to be happy early on. It's like, I don't know. Like, but they can't feel good about Peter's season, right? Like,
no.
I don't know.
I wonder if because they were just filming Matt's while Clayshows was airing, that they didn't really get how much everyone loved the season until they had already done casting. They'd already been through this and everything.
That's true. Yeah. So maybe it will show up for next time around. And hopefully for Paradise, we'll see like a lot of those people back. I did hear like Paradise is for sure happening. That was, I think, the producer that was on Nick Viall's podcast said something like that, but not any like details of where it would be or anything like that. But so that's something to look forward to. But yeah, that's it for questions.
Yeah. What a thrill this was again, Amy.
It was.
Always a joy.
You know. Haley, where can people find you? Or did you get any takes from Doug? Or
did yeah, I did. Okay. Thanks for reminding me. I would have totally forgot.
I got your back, Doug.
I found myself pondering if the producers have tried to spice up the season by taking a page from the early 2000s ABC reality TV playbook by making Victoria the mole. Oh. Check out coverage of the mole somewhere on the RTP network. Where is it? Do you remember? Well, is it here on the wrap-ups?
Yeah, the mole rewatch. But they it's not currently going on, but you can go to the archives and find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, check that
with,
out.
With Brooklyn Zed, Jessica Lise, and Josh Wigler. And yeah, you know what, there's so the show that I think it's after The Bachelor, it's with Craig Ferguson, the Hustler is kind of mole-like, and it's kind of fun. It's like a game show, a trivia, where there's right. like six people. I think it starts with six. And one of them is the Hustler, and so they know all the answers to the trivia question, and the other contestants have to figure out who it is before the end, or otherwise the Hustler wins all the money and the Hustler gets to like eliminate a couple of people along the way. So it's kind of fun, like play along with the audience or play along as an audience member watching. And then they'll give like random clues about like the Hustler was a former Olympian and has the Olympic rings tattooed on their body. And it's just kind of fun to like try to figure out like who you think it might be. So that's kind of
fun. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you like trivia and mole type things.
I defy anyone to tell the difference between Kit's robotic erotic story and Siri reading a passage from Chris Harrison's book.
Ooh, maybe that's what, is there like a passage available on like Amazon? Let's look at this
maybe.
Up. I'll look it up while you read more from Doug.
Was Victoria's story just Mad Libs with the F word in it as many times as possible? That would be an interesting take, is to do a Mad Libs.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, it's funny because it seemed like Katie's story was pretty raunchy, and then Victoria was like, that was so vanilla. and Victoria's was like, bleep, bleep, bleep. And I liked Ashley I being like, yeah, that'll leave an impression for sure.
I love that Ashley I clearly hated Victoria too.
Yeah.
And then he says, I really hope we get to meet Serena's dad who didn't want her to be on the show. Do you think he will be along for the hometown day where they turn a corner of the resort into the Sky Dome or CN Tower? Yeah, I think that would be great. Or Niagara Falls. Let's get that going.
Yeah.
Not that far.
Well, and here's the other thing too. I wonder if they're going to do like, if they'll do that same thing for hometowns, or if they're gonna like, I feel like everything's been so elevated this season that maybe they won't do that the same way.
I love the fake hometowns.
Yeah, I liked it too, but let's see. Oh no, it doesn't have like a look inside. There's no excerpt here. Come on, Amazon. But here's the back cover. Lee Merrill spent 10 years running away from her past. Now she's going back. A talented young book editor in New York City, Lee leads a rich life full of writing, parties, and romance, far from the dust of her grandfather's horse farm in Texas. And she's engaged to Joseph, a brilliant, generous man who adores her. Still, when she's invited to a writer's conference in Austin, Lee can't help but feel that Texas, with all of its tangled secrets, is calling her home. She tells herself the trip is just a few days away to catch up with old friends and meet new authors and clear her mind, but Lee's plans for a quiet retreat quickly dissolve when she discovers a stack of letters from her past in her hotel room, letters that bear her soul on her deepest and darkest secrets, letters she wrote to the love of her life. After years of running but with nowhere left to hide, Lee must finally decide what she truly wants and just how much she'll risk to get it.
Am I now kind of interested?
Why are there letters in her hotel room?
Yeah, that sounds creepy to me.
What is it rated? It is 4.5 stars.
Out of how many?
5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, if anyone knows or works at the publishing company and wants to send us a press copy of this book, we'd be more than happy to read it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you got sponsored to write a review of Sean Lowe's book on the Rob Essen website?
I got a free book out of it.
But they weren't willing to send it to Canada, remember?
Right.
Oh, God, we've lived so many lives in the last 7 years, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, there's like new headlines about, did Chris Harrison really author The Perfect Letter?
No, there's a ghostwriter involved, for sure.
Yeah, he had like an idea, or someone like romance company contacted him, and they're like, do you want to put your name to this?
Everyone has a ghostwriter, just know that.
Yeah. I'm trying to look if there's any excerpts here. No, he's kept it locked down pretty well. No illegal copies that I can see. All right. Sorry, I interrupted Doug's takes. Was there anything
else? No, that was it. We're done.
Okay.
Doug is finished.
All right. Well, Haley, where can people find you? And what have you been, what would you recommend? I recommended The Hustler. What have you been reading or watching, listening to lately?
I just finished a book called The Thursday Murder Club by Richard Osman, who is one of the co-hosts of Pointless, one of my favorite British game shows. He hosts his own show called Richard Osman's House of Games, which I would also recommend if you're into like trivia and stuff. But I enjoyed it. It was like a nice like British mystery. I also read, what's it called? It was like in all of the, it's like a royal, the Royal We. I read The Royal We and I enjoyed that. Took me a while to get through it, but it was a good book.
Yeah, nice.
TV shows? I don't know. Like I haven't been watching a whole lot lately.
I started watching one of my fave shows, Married at First Sight, and then Asia, who we're having next week, covered the premiere with Rob. So even if you didn't watch the show, and I don't really recommend watching the premiere because it was 3 hours and a lot of filler, but the podcast is really fun to listen to. So I would recommend that show and coming up. And yeah, we're excited to have her join us next week. You can find me at RGP Recapper. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye. Bye.